I wasn't coming until I looked at the agenda. Then I had to go home and put on a shirt and tie.
I'll call this meeting to order. Special services, it's 1:35. Present so far is Janet Kilpatrick, George Smalley, myself, Jay Street, and Bill Bell will be here in Penrose Highlands. We'll skip over to approval of minutes since we don't have enough for a quorum, and we'll go into the not to uphold the time and the date here for land use and so forth. We'll update on the Route 9 library bids and the construction. We call this meeting to order to get the bid updates, the procedures, and who's working on the job, and maybe a time limit and schedule on the library. So further ado, I'll turn it over to General Manager Wayne Merritt.
Thank you very much. Please be able to talk about Route 9 Library. Exciting projects we've undertaken, and I will turn it over to Steve Rubel, who's the chief cook and bottle washer.
And Steve, before you stand up,
motion to approve the minutes as previously submitted.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I want to make sure that Chris Bullock is present, President Bullock, and Bill Bell is also present. All right, thank you, Steve.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Steve Rubel, Project Administrator of Special Services and Project Manager of the Library Project. We appreciate this opportunity to give you an update on the Library Project. As well, I have the key project members that can answer any additional questions. So, erection, we probably have as early as mid-March. We also are hoping to get the 224 Millview garage demo this month. So that's a
amen
to the site. As long as we don't see any schedule delays from here on out, we expect the building envelope to be complete by the end of September. And then we would look forward to a ceremonial opening in December. Oh, sorry, do you have a question?
Yeah, but you're not chairing the meeting.
Good, George.
I know my place. You may not, but I know my place. Yeah, I just have a quick question for you. Apparently, there's been no issue with any pollutants or anything on the earth you've had to move so far. So my question is, if we move to that building and begin demoing it, and happen to come into something, could that potentially stop the progress on the rest of the site?
We've actually already performed well drilling and soil sampling at that site. So we've already sampled. We're not finding anything different than what we saw on the rest of the site.
Glad to hear.
Yeah. In addition, we performed an abatement, asbestos abatement survey on that building, and we've already abated what was there. So we're ready to demo, level it down to the slab at least at this point. Yeah, we shouldn't see anything there that will stop the project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. So we look forward to having a ceremonial opening in December of this year, and then finally an official grand opening in March of 2017.
I'll see you in June.
With respect to the bid packages right now, we have received bids for three of the bid packages. The site work, as I mentioned previously, has already been awarded and the work's ongoing. The concrete bid package, we have issued a letter of intent to award, and we are waiting to review surety bond and insurance information. And at that point, once that's approved, we'll submit contracts in the contract tracking for execution. The third bid package is the steel, and we're currently awaiting the State of Delaware Division of Labor to review and hopefully approve the apprenticeship program of the apparent location. 25th. So once that's done, again, we'll review surety bond information and send it into contract tracking for execution. Now, as far as the remaining bid packages, all but two of the remaining 24 packages are on the street right now. We'll be receiving bids on January 19th. We hope to execute within 1 to 2 months from that date. Hopefully, maybe sooner for some of the other critical bid packages. So that wraps up essentially all the bid packages that are out on the street. So one additional thing that we wanted to review with you was our internal bid review process, to give you a little bit of information on what we do and what Jack Wallace does, our contracts officer. So from the time that bids are received, what we do is initially review documents to make sure that they're all in conformance. We do a bid tabulation, we make a determination on who the apparent bidder is. From that point, the next step is to request, receive, and review apprenticeship program information. Once that's reviewed and approved, we go on to the next step, which is essentially a surety bond and insurance information review. That gets reviewed, approved, and then we essentially just submit contracts into contract tracking for final execution. So that's essentially in a nutshell, you know, what we do as far as our internal bid. So that's basically it. Any questions?
I do, Steve. And I don't know if this would be directed towards you or Tony Gardner. This issue's come up since we passed the law. But as far as looking at the minority participation, before we award these contracts, can we look at the people that are low bid and look at their past history? You know, we really did look into this to make this work. And could we look into this and say, if the low bid has not passed a minority participation rate, that they'd be disqualified?
We are required to take the low bid, the qualified low bid, as long as it meets all the provisions within our municipal code. So the answer is no, we really can't do that. I know Philadelphia has 30%. Quota has to be met within those city limits for work, but we have to take the low bid as long as it's qualified. What we have been doing is trying to find other ways to work around that. So where we have scopes of work that are $10,000 or less, we can basically hand that out to qualified bidders, whoever we want. If scopes of work are less than $49,000, we're able to get three bids, and you know, try and work it that way. At the same time, EIS and Tony has been working diligently for the past, you know, 5 or 6 months to not only develop a diversity plan, which I believe you all have seen, but to basically put in verbiage into all the bid packages to strongly recommend and make the bidders aware that really are looking to increase minority participation on this project, as well as community involvement. You know, Newcastle, to try and get more people involved in this project. So we're doing everything we can to make that work.
I'll get Penrose and then George.
Yeah, if that's the case, then maybe we need to revisit the code, because I agree with the chair. If we're going to continue to award applicants who have historically ignored diversity, why do we even have the whole process in place? I mean, we're not going to achieve anything just based on good faith. So I think we need to revisit that. I think it needs to be strengthened, because when you look at the minority report, there are certain contractors that are doing business with Newcastle County that historically has not hired any significant number of minorities whatsoever. And I think we need to discontinue that if we're serious about having minorities participate. So good faith, and I thought at one point we talked about some sort of a point system. I don't know where all that is, but what you're saying here today is not very satisfying to me, that we're going to achieve a realistic goal in having minority participation.
Special services would be glad to be part of that process.
We only get so many of these major projects that are done by Newcastle County government, so if we're missing the boat this time, we have really allowed a ship to go out without getting anywhere near what I think we should be trying to do here.
Tony Gardner, Chief Administrative Services. You bring up a good point, Councilman, in regards to having participation requirements, but I think what it is in the code now, we don't have any of that. And we do keep track and metrics on all minority participation, and in my office, we're keeping track of all the metrics. I think that would be a good thing to add, but right now in the code, as Steve mentioned, we don't have anything to enforce that. And what we have done working with EDIS is we put something in the bid packages as they go out to encourage that activity, whether it's minority participation, but also we want them to actually look at subcontractors as well. So we put something in the bids going forward, and I can share that document with you guys, but I think that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to take steps, but we have to work within the county code. And that's one of the concerns that we have, is just making sure that we can do some of the things that you suggest.
Councilman Smalley.
Yeah. Well, I won't say it goes without saying, but I definitely support diversity and minority hiring. I mean, I argued for years before I got on council when they used to gauge minority participation on the owner of the company, which is ridiculous. We do what's right. It's who's actually working on the job. You have a minority own it, and you have all the employees, not quite as cute as me, but similar complexion. I mean, that gains you nothing. So, you know, I support what we're doing. I agree, if it's not getting us where we need to go, then we need to look at some changes. But I also want to say, as finance co-chair, who's worked on legislation for reporting limits, council approval limits, it doesn't really give me a comfort level when I hear that side of the room talking about, well, if we can get it below 50,000, then we can steer it here or steer it there. That doesn't, just so you know, that doesn't really give me a comfort level if we're proposing that that we try to get a bid a little lower so we can send it. We want to send it to good contractors. Hopefully we have minority participation. But I would hate to think that any part of any county project is going to be manipulated for any special company. That just doesn't sit well with me, regardless of their purpose.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'm hearing is low bidder, but then I'm hearing qualified. Does qualified mean, because I think it is important to take a look at a contractor's whole performance, is that part of being qualified?
Pre-qualified contractors.
Excuse me, state your name for the record for the tape.
Jack Wallace, I'm the contracts officer and purchasing agent for special services, for admin services now. But yeah, we pre-qualify contractors based on experience and capabilities. And then, you know, after we get the bids, we look at that kind of stuff, make sure they're pre-qualified to bid. In a lot of categories, like the library project, we're not pre-qualifying in order to attempt to attract more bidders. Because to pre-qualify with the special services department, they have to fill out an application, submit financial information, etc. But yeah, we take a look at the you know, past history with the county, you know, their capability to perform the work, their experience in that type of work, and things of that general nature to make sure that they're capable of completing that project. So it's part of the responsibility review that we give a contractor after the review.
So we are taking a look at their past performance?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that just within New Castle County or as a contractor as a whole?
As a whole. You know, if we, in a pre-qualification review, if we find that they've got to give us references, and people on the committee will call, you know, contact the references and find out how their past performance has been. So if they've got poor performance, no matter where, if we find out about it, not too far.
It worries me tremendously, low bid, okay, because low bid isn't always the best bid. And we've all had experience with it. And the thing is, we're building a multi-million dollar library for the future there. And I don't think we can afford to have substandard work done there. So you know, I know that we're bound by certain restrictions when you talk about low bid, but I certainly would hope that we take a real good look at who we're hiring so that we don't end up with an albatross.
Councilman Street?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I play hard, but also try to play fair. And I recall a lot of years ago now, you saying to me, basically, what do you care who owns it? We need to be concerned about who's working. And as a result, we did what we had to do to get monthly reports that we're still receiving. And while they were building the Taj Mahal, the minority participation rate went from 0% to around, got up to 28%, was always in the mid-20s thereafter. And the reason I preface this by saying I play hard, but I try to play fair, the burden for this ain't on this side of the room. The burden for this is at this table. Now, we've talked about putting in legislation, we've talked about creating incentives, we've talked about mandating that a certain percentage, if a project is in a neighborhood, we talked about legislation that would mandate that a certain number of employees would have to be residents of that area. Well, it's no need to beat them off. If we want to do something about it, that burden's right here. And I would support, more than happy to support, any legislation that somebody wants to bring forward like that, but I just don't think it's a matter of fundamental fairness. We're the lawmakers, they're not. The only qualifier I do have with them is, I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the rules, regulations, procedures say lowest responsible bidder. So there's some latitude within that for somebody to make the decision about who is responsible and who's not. And that's an administrative decision which gives you some latitude for decision making there. But my understanding is you're not limited to the lowest bidder, it's the lowest responsible bidder. Is that correct?
That's correct. It says responsible and responsible within the code.
Turn to the lawyer.
Hi, Mary Ann Doherty, Special Services. Our code, which we basically mirrors the state code because we get our authority from the state code, requires us to award to the lowest responsible bidder unless it's in the best interest of Newcastle County not to. So lowest responsible would be if you have all your licenses that are required under the code and whatnot. So unfortunately, we don't have a lot of room to award other than to the lowest responsible bidder. Just to clarify that, we derive our authority from the state code.
Want to continue, Councilman Street?
Well, I just want to continue with this. You know, Edis is the construction manager, Mr. Gardner is a vital part of that, and I have some confidence that Mr. Gardner and Mr. DeSabatino, when those reports come in, if there's nobody working, somebody's going to pick up the phone and say something. And I trust that as part and parcel to contract being led and subcontractors, that there's going to be conversations with the contractors that this is a priority for not just council, this government. So I'm assuming that those conversations are going to be ongoing and the reports will be forthcoming.
Tony Gardner, Chief Administrative Services. Yes, I know Mike Peter and myself, we've met, we've talked about that. What we're going to try to do is track all that activity. So I know Mike is on top of it. Mike is actually leading the project in regards to EDIS from a construction management standpoint. And we're going to be tracking all the activities in regards to who's on site. And we're going to be keeping metrics as we go, whether it's subcontractors or just minority participation as a whole.
I think when we did the police station, we did have Gil Bain come in. They were the construction manager, CM. And we, as council, asked them a lot of questions and asked about this. We're there wasn't too many people. We just got elected, to be honest with you, the class of 2004. So I think we should set up at least bi-monthly meetings until this thing's finished, because I have a good feeling we're more experienced at this, and the questions will come out a lot more.
Wayne Marinette, Secretary of Social Services. We're scheduled special services the first Tuesday of the month, so we're seeing the top and I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look for the mail. We'll be looking for the first social services report sent out for that. Obviously, this is just the beginning of it. There's only 8 employees on site, but the 2 African Americans, so 25% of the small group
We just want to stay updated on this. We don't want to fall behind, come back, have an argument, and
we will meet our monthly first Tuesday.
Go on. I didn't get to hear it, did I?
No.
I just not
that I'm predicting anything, but you know, part of what you said about in the county's best interest. So I would think that if the county awarded an award and people couldn't go to work because of the number of people that were picketing the site, it might be in our best interest to look at who we awarded that to. So just something we might want to look into and keep in mind. That's my old life. But I miss it.
Shay, do you have another comment?
Councilman Street, were you having something else? Or?
Well, you opened the door, and I had a flashback. And here's the harsh reality. We raised all that hell over the $50 million Taj Mahal about who was working, so forth and so on. And at the end of the day, according to my calculations, we've already spent $6 million fixing what they messed up with the first $50 million. So we need to consider that as we award contracts to the so-called lowest responsible bidder.
Councilman Hollins?
Yes, when we adopted responsible contract legislation, responsible is the key word here, in my opinion. So it just seems to me that responsibility would also incorporate a criteria of diversity. So I think that is how you may interpret this, and even though the state may have given us the authority, we do not have to necessarily have a piece of legislation that mirrors the state, because if that's the case, we're never going to achieve any real diversity. Because if you look at the state of Delaware and consider that to be the measure of excellence, then we're looking in the wrong place. So to say that, well, we get the authority from the state, we get the authority from the state from just about everything we do. It does not mean that we have to mirror the state exactly to what they are doing. So I don't buy into that. I think that what's going on here is basically less than a real serious attempt to achieve diversity. And if we are saying that now we can hide behind the fact that, well, the code doesn't say this, the code doesn't say that, then we need to fix the code. We had a lot of conversation around the whole responsible contractor legislation to talk about the fact that, well, good faith is in it. So what the hell does good faith mean to other people on the other side if it doesn't mean anything? So we need to make some clarity about what we were trying to achieve from this body when we adopted this legislation. And the whole conversation around diversity was not a short conversation the way we're getting the response here today.
I'll go to Mary first.
Mary Ann, Deputy Special Services. The courts interpret anything based on like a preference for a race with strict scrutiny. So you have to, the government has to have a compelling interest to choose, like to put in some sort of preference. And I've said before that first the courts like you to look for race-neutral alternatives. Like you can loosen up some of the requirements in the code to attract more minority participation with bidding, like pre-qualification, loosening some of the bonding requirements and whatnot. To be able to do more, you have to do a disparity study. And the county, to my knowledge, I've talked to Mr. Gardner about us doing that, getting a disparity study done so that, you know, we can implement things that would be stricter. And then, you know, if it ever was litigated, we would have the evidence, the proof to support our position. But without that, you know, it wouldn't be looked favorably upon by a court.
Well, the goal here is to achieve diversity. That's right. The goal of this county. And if other jurisdictions can do it using the same constitution, what makes us so different in Newcastle County?
Because they have more evidence, like disparity studies, things like that, to show that, you know, minorities have been disadvantaged on county contracts. We need to fix that. Right now,
we can show that with the data that we have.
Well, I don't know that, you know, we have a formal disparity study or that we've actually looked at it.
Well, maybe we should start looking at it. I don't know what you want to call it, but the numbers that we've received so far that we continue to talk about definitely points to the fact that we are not achieving any significant goals in terms of minority representation in contracts. That's the reality. So you can name it what you want to name it, but the reports that we get bears that out.
And I thought that's why we asked, that's in the language of the following reports would have to be done. It goes along with the prevailing wage, who comes in, and so forth. I see Mr. McCluskey's there. We go through. I thought that was why we did that. It's like Mr. Hollins was saying, we have it right in black and white.
That's why we did it. That's what we thought. But apparently they're thinking something different than what we thought. So I think the legislative body needs to be very clear about what our intentions were and what they are today.
Councilman Smiley.
Can someone, whoever is responsible on that side, get this council an idea of a time frame and a cost for a disparity study so we could look at possibly moving forward and contracting for one?
I'll take a look at that. I can take a look at that. I know we've talked about it. Tony Gardner, Chief Administrative Services, I know we've talked about it. I talked about it with law. But I think that was done. I think it was some type of study that was going to be done several years ago.
Okay,
but I know going forward we want to actually do it.
We may disagree that we should have to do it. But if the legal opinion, and it's been raised here today, is that it would help us down the road, then let's push this up. Let's push this ball uphill a little bit and get it rolling. Doesn't mean we stop what we're doing, but it's been brought up. Let's find out what we got to do it.
Council Street.
Well, he said the magic words to me. That don't mean we stop what we're doing. But as far as the disparity report, you can go over the history of three administrations, and with continuity within all three of the last administrations, the minority participation across the board annually has been 4%. You don't need to spend a whole lot of money in a disparity study to recognize that number, and it speaks for itself. Second, I mean, I've said it publicly, and you know, I'm out at the site. Take my grandson out to the site 2 or 3 days a week. I'm excited like a little kid. I'm gonna watch the library be built the same way I watched Hilltop get built. And as the trucks were coming in and out, taking the trees and the chips and all that, I'm counting who's working. I'm looking at who's driving and who's operating. And I was a community activist before I got elected. And with any luck, I'll be a community activist when I'm no longer on this council. And trust me, if it looks like it's not fair to me, I'm going to call, scream, and holler at him, and I'm going to beat on that door in that trailer and ask for some things to be different. And hopefully we're going to get monthly reports. And between the 13 of us, with a comparable perspective, I think we'll get, I think that increases the likelihood of a city to the result that we want.
I agree. Anything else? Anybody else on the subject?
Okay. I heard my opinion.
Is that all from Social Services on the library?
No more.
Pretty clear what we're
he told me use my shoe.
That's true, that's why you did before.
What, Paul Clark in here?
I heard you.
All right, well, our next meeting, we'll go forward, but we're asked, especially starting in March or April, really the construction manager attend with you. Every report, the bidding, and so forth. And of course, the progress.
Right.
If that's it, we'll go under other. Anybody have anything under other? If not, public comment.
Just briefly under other, and it's a land use perspective that ties in with the library, and that is that I certainly grew up in the area, but I work in the area, and I still frequent the area, and I'm still active in the fire department in the area. And I noticed the property to the west, okay, or actually to the south on Route 9, all of a sudden, you know, the boarded windows come off, and there was some brickwork done. And do we know whether land use or someone went there? Was that done by the property owner that actually saw that what we're doing there? You know, that if it was done by land use, then they need to expand a little bit further. But I've noticed that the property adjacent to it is being cleaned up a lot.
It's starting to get a little better.
Yeah.
Somebody text George before he comes.
I didn't bear that too much. I noticed the same thing. I had no idea.
And he may have done it on his own, but I mean, the boarded up windows are now bricked in and everything, and the property looks like it's being cleaned. And my point is that it should have been done without us, you know, building there.
He's probably looking to solicit a bid from us.
But that's what I expect along that corridor. And I think it's a big improvement.
Turn that bulldozer up.
Just one more thing, Mr. Chairman. Since a lot of the players are here, you know, I just want to say thank you. I think staff and community services, staff and special services, I think some, if not most of them, are just as excited about this as I am. And I truly, truly appreciate all your hard work and all your effort. And I'm looking forward to the process and completion. So I just want to say thank you very, very much.
Okay. Anything else under other? Public comment? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, excuse me.